Chapter 42. The next day was more of the same. More of the trolls' steady climbing. The whole day. Joshua, clinging to Sancho's back like a child to its father, grew numbed. Out of condition, maybe still suffering the after effects of the infection, he was barely aware of the world around him, and the troll climbed on and on, with a kind of liquid grace that belied his bulk. The air seemed to grow thinner with every breath, but Sancho was climbing just as vigorously as he had from the start. The light grew brighter. Looking around, Joshua saw they were out of that bank of mist now. No, he saw, peering down over Sancho's shoulder, they had actually climbed above a cloud layer, out of which the mighty trunk of the tree rose up defiantly, reaching for the sky like a space elevator. They had evidently left behind that first layer of canopy too, for the trunks of this tree's companions stood all around, bare and clean, rising from the clouds. He vaguely remembered reading, probably with some sister or other, that the carbon that went into making all that wood in a tree's trunk came from the air. If so, these trees represented one hell of a carbon store. Perhaps, in fact, this was naturally a world high in carbon dioxide, and the trees had evolved in response. And here he was speculating on evolution while gasping like a beached fish and clinging to a troll's hairy back. Stick to the point, Joshua. They seemed also to have clambered above most of the vertical wildlife that the tree nurtured. The few branches they passed were sparse and stubby, and in the crisp light, the puddle lakes, like the one where they had spent the night, were now scarce. Joshua supposed that they were above much of the weather here, too. Rainfall would be rare. But Sancho, without food and water, almost since they had woken, seemed indifferent. He just climbed on and on. Joshua could only endure. He clung to Sancho's back, his face buried in thick black troll hair. When Sancho next stopped, Joshua groggily saw that the sun was setting again. Below him were more layers of clouds, cirrus clouds this time, Joshua thought, a fine layer through which could be glimpsed deeper cloudscapes below, all of them threaded by the trunks of the trees. And above him, beyond the branches, only an astronaut's sky, deep blue, specked by a handful of brilliant stars, empty of cloud, save for only the palest, icy streak. He was dimly aware that Sancho was untying the ropes. He gently unloaded Joshua and settled him in a crook of a branch. Beyond him, the curious faces of other trolls hung like moons. What other trolls? Joshua was confused, nauseous, breathless, and cold, and Sancho seemed to realize that, for, with rough kindness, he tucked the sleeping bag around Joshua's inert body. Joshua lay back. Above him, those branches combined in a canopy draped with huge leaves, like blankets spread out to dry in the sun. A second canopy, then. Why not? Up here, in the clear, cloudless air, the conditions for photosynthesis must be ideal, he thought dimly. Ideal for gathering the unending sunlight from a cloud-free sky. A harvest that nourished the growth of all he had seen below him in the miles of their ascent. Miles? Could that really be true? How high were the highest cirrus clouds? 20, 30,000 feet? Rod the pilot would know. He was maybe 3, 4 miles high then, at least. And he could see, leaning back, that the trunk of this vast tree went on even beyond this canopy layer, on up towards the blue sky heaven. How tall could this tree grow? 5 miles? Joshua laughed. Sally, you should be here to see this. And there were trolls up here. In the declining light, he saw now the shadows of adults and cubs, big, heavy trolls with big, deep chests, moving cautiously. Maybe they lived up here permanently, and their bodies had adapted to the thin air. There were whole families up here. They were eating fruit and grubs and what looked like haunches of meat, and they drank water from cupped leaves. As he watched them feed, He thought they were careful not to consume anything of the tree itself. He'd read somewhere that some trees, oaks for instance, evolved poisons against persistent herbivores. Silhouetted against the deepening purple of the sky, they looked like heavy fruit hanging from these impossible branches, miles high. And he could clearly hear, floating on the still air, the troll's eternal song. "Yes, you should be here, Sally. You'd love it." He pulled the blanket closer over him, tugged his hat down over his ears, and tried to sleep. He woke once in the night, growlingly thirsty. He tried to call for Sancho, but his voice was a scrape. He raised his head. All around him, the trolls were visible in the light of the brilliant stars, huge mounds, huddled together as they slept. When he called again for Sancho, a heavy hand touched his shoulder. He turned to see Sancho's heavy, rather mournful face. "Water." Joshua expected Sancho to go to the medical pack for one of Joshua's flasks. Instead, he held up a kind of greenish sack, an organic object, oddly streamlined. It was like a teardrop, Joshua thought, heavy with liquid within. Sancho expertly ripped a hole in this with thumb and forefinger, held it up over Joshua's mouth, and clear, cold water trickled onto his tongue. When the sack was empty, Sancho just held it up and let it go. And the empty sack sailed up into the air, up over Sancho's head, until it was lost against the details of the branches above. Somehow this didn't seem at all surprising to Joshua in this fantastical place. What else were things supposed to do but float off into the sky? He patted Sancho's shoulder in thanks and settled down to sleep again.